Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the wide lines. By Rav Elezer. So we have been discussing, since we began yesterday's shiur, the Mishnah, the Halachas, the Parm HaNisrafim, the Sirim HaNisrafim. As we mentioned in our previous shiur, there are five kabbonis that are carbon chatos, but are not brought on Mizbeach HaChitzen, but rather they're brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. We know that the Torah is quite strict, and actually it's going to be a subject of the next parak, Mitzvah Hashem, about Kotshim being taken out of the Azara. Ask the Gemara, by Rebbe Elazar Yitzia, if the Parman Nisrafim, the Sirim Nisrafim, will remove from the Azara prior to the Zrika. Ma'ayah Shatayah B'Parm HaNisrafim U'Sirim HaNisrafim. Will that be a disqualification regarding the Parm HaNisrafim or the Sirim HaNisrafim? Ask the Gemara, Ma'ayah B'Boylei, what is the basis of this question? Says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yirmi Ba'Abba, Aliva Demanda Omma Adayim La'Yi Yizmanu Lotzeis. If you will recall, we learned the Gemara in that Pei Tesam Abayis. The Gemara and that Pei Tesam Abayis discussed, as I just said, Kotcha Kotchim certainly become disqualified if they're taken out from the Azara. And the Gemara discussed what would be the halacha regarding Kotchim Kalim. And the Gemara says that one man domer says there is no issue of taking out Kotchim Kalim from the Azara prior to the Yitzia. Why? Because we know that Kotchim Kalim become the food of the owners, and the owners are not only allowed to, that's where they're supposed to eat, outside the Azara. And therefore he says, even though there's an issue of Yotzei by the Basar of Kotchim Kotchim, there is no issue of Yotzei by the Basar of Kotchim Kalim. The other man, Domer, disagreed. And he said, because, yes, ultimately, the meat of the Kotchim Kalim will be removed from the Azara, but prior to the Zrika is not yet the time that it should be taken out. And therefore, the Gemara established a concept of Adayim Lohigiyuz Manolotzeis. The time for picking them out hasn't yet come. So ask the Gemara. So the same concept could be applied here. That yes, ultimately, the Parma and the Srafim, the Sinan and the Srafim are going to be taken out of the Azara because the mitzvah is to take it, as we learned in the Mishnah, we'll discuss it again, to take it out of the three machnois and burn it there. But the Gemara is suggesting, meaning, perhaps, when do we apply that concept? Hanimili Basar. That's strictly by the meat. It doesn't really have to happen that way. As Rashi says, if the owners of this carbon, if the owner of the Kotchim Kalim choose to give their meat, to give their basar to Kohanim, and the Kohanim choose to eat it in the Azara, it's perfectly fine. So there's a possibility that the basar of the Kotchim Kalim will never leave the Azara. Aval, but the Parm HaNisrafim, the Sirim HaNisrafim, the Soifin Lotzeis Chayva, there's no way that they won't be taken out of the Azara, as I just said, because they're burnt outside of Shalosh Machnas. Loi. There, everybody will agree, there is no disqualification of Yotzei. Oidoma, or perhaps here too, we should apply the concept of Hachinami Loigiyaz Manalotzeis. The time to take him out hasn't yet come. It's before the Zrika, and if the time to take him out has not yet come, therefore there is a psul of Yotzei. Toshma. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the Braisa that we quoted in the previous year. Because if you will recall, in the previous year, Levi taught us a Braisa. And Levi taught us that there are three different places where the Parm HaNisrafim, the Sirim HaNisrafim, may get burnt. One is if the disqualification, this is Levi's version, if the disqualification happened in the Azara, they get burnt in the Azara. If the disqualification happened when they're outside of the Azara, they get burnt on the Har HaBayis. And if it's done properly, as we've been saying, it's taken out of all three machnas. Tashma, the Tani Levi, Shir by Psul B'Tziyasai. that the disqualification happened as it was taken out, so then it gets burnt, but not in the Azara, but on the Har Bayis. What type of disqualification suggests the Gemara happened that it should require burning on the Har Bayis? My love, so you'd see it. So isn't this a raya that Yotze is a disqualification by the Parim Nisrofim, Nisrim, Nisrofim as well? Says the Gemara, loy. You know what type of disqualification Levi was referring to? He's referring to the Psul Tumma Psulina. The Yotze wasn't the Psul that Levi's talking about, because there may not be a Psul Yotze by Parim Nisrofim, Nisrim, Nisrofim. So Rekiva Eger, in the Gilyan Ashas, on the side of the Gemara, makes a very interesting observation and then asks a question. Of course, it's all very shorthand, so we'll have to try to understand what Rekiva Eger is saying. Rekiva Eger says, if we recall the last Gemara that we learned in the previous year, the Gemara asked the question, is there a psulina by the Parim Nisrofim, the Nisrim Nisrofim? And the Gemara quoted this very brisa that we just quoted and said, Levi talks about a disqualification. Isn't he referring to the disqualification of psulina? So Gemara said, no. It's referring to psul tum and psul yotze. Now the Gemara tries to quote the exact same braisa and says, no, it's talking about psulina and psul tum. So the Gemara is sort of playing games. In the previous year, the Gemara said it means psul yotze. In today's year, it says it means psulina. It can't mean both. But Rekiva Eger asks a much more fundamental question. The constant that has been in both pieces of Gemara is Psul Tumah. So why doesn't the Gemara just say, in the previous piece of Gemara, and in this piece of Gemara, you know what type of Psul Levi is referring to? He's referring to Psul Tumah. And not get involved with saying, yesterday I meant Psul Yotze, and today I mean Psul Lina. So Rekiva Eger says, because Psul Tumah is also not such a great teretz. Because the Parim HaNisrofim and the Sirim HaNisrofim are all Kabbonis Tzivur, and we have a rule of Tumah Hutra B'Tzivur. So how could the Gemara suggest that the Psul is Tumah? Tumah is not a Psul. So that's why the Gemara had also suggest in the previous year Psul Yotze, and today's Shir Psul Lina, even though it's sort of self-contradictory. Ask the Gemara another question. By Rabbi Loza, Parim HaNisrofim, Sirim HaNisrofim. So we learned in the Mishnah, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that as soon as they're taken out from the Azara, they are metameh the begodim, the garments of those that carry it out. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that the Gemara's question is not regarding that halacha. It's going back to what we just discussed in Levi. The Levi said that once it's taken out and gets disqualified, it's not burnt in the Azara, it's burnt in the Har Habayis. So Gemara's trying to figure out when is it considered on the way out that if it got disqualified, it wouldn't be burnt in the Azara rather than the Har Habayis. But we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Again, ask the Gemara, Parim HaNisrofim, Sirim HaNisrofim. Shiyotzu Rubai, that most of the animal was removed. But how did we achieve removing most of the animal? B'miyut Eiver. You have most of the animal because amongst what went out, you had a small part of one limb. Now, how do we look at this situation? Hach miyuta de eva bas ruba shadina lei? Do we take into consideration the small part of the eva together with the rest of the animal? With the rest of the eva, falei nafkalei, and therefore can't be considered together with the rest of the animal? Oidilma, do we consider this small part of the limb, basa ruba the behema shadinan? And we consider, and now we have roiva the behema, and it would be matama, the begodim, of those who carry it out. Says the Gemara, this isn't the question. Pshita, because it is obvious to the Gemara, the lo shefkinen ruba the behema, vazlina basa ruba the beivarim. We don't start looking at each limb individual, we look at the animal as a whole. And since most of the animal is outside of the Azara, it's metame the begodim of those who are carrying that animal. So there's a fascinating vort from the Stipler and from the Dvar Avram on this Gemara with nothing to do with Masechet Zvachim, but it's tremendous. We all know hadasim that we take on Sukkos. The halach is that they're supposed to be mshaloshim, enough eights of us. The halach is the best hadas is that you have the shear of the hadas, and it's mishloshim from top to bottom. But the halacha is that let's say you have a hadas. Let's use an example. Where you have 10 rows, and 4 rows have no leaves, but 6 rows are mishloshim. We apply the concept of ruba kikuloi, and it's considered a kosher hadas. Now we have another situation. This is actually already a machloikus rishonim. Let's say you have a hadas that you're supposed to have 3 leaves coming out of every line. You only have 2. Do we say ruba kikuloi, you have 2 of the 3, or not? It's machloikus rishonim. And most poiskim, including the Mishnah Berurah, say that we say ruba kikuloi. And therefore, even if you have 2 instead of 3, we could apply the concept of ruba kikuloi, and it'll be a kosher hadas. Discusses the Baal HaTanya and the Mishnah Berurah. What happens in a situation where we have to rely on 2 rows? You have certain rows that are missing the leaves altogether, and certain rows where you have the leaves, but you only have 2 of the 3. So they both paskin, that we could use a double roif. You could say ruba kikuloi twice on the one hadas. Ask the stipler, what will be the halacha if you have the following hadas, our hadas with the 10 rows? 4 rows are missing any leaves. 6 rows have 2 of the 3. So how many leaves is this hadas supposed to have? 10 times 3 equals 30. How many leaves does this hadas actually have? Altogether 12. 6 times 2. What will be the halacha on this hadas? Says the stipler, that it'll be possible. Because what did our Gemara say? That when we look at roiv, even if we want to apply the concept of roiv, we first have to look at the entire thing before we start looking at the individual. And here we have a situation where the hadas is supposed to have 30 leaves and only has 12, so it's certainly less than roiv. Yes, you could start applying halacha concepts, but at the end of the day, you don't have roif. And therefore, says the stipler, he wants to say that that hadas will be possible. There are achroinim that disagree with the stipler. He says you can't compare the two situations, but it's a nice fart. So what is the question? Where you have the situation, el shirotza chetzi b'roif aver. You have the animal, it's 50% out and 50% in. Hai miyuta de aver. Basu roif aver shadinalei. So most of one limb is outside. So, and you have exactly 50-50. So now the Gemara's question is as follows. If we'll include the minority, the small part of the aver that's still inside with the rest of the aver, we'll have hanafiklei. Do we look at the aver? And since most of the aver is outside, we'll say all of the aver is outside. And by adding this a little mount, we'll have roif. Or do we look at the animal? And most of the animal is inside. And since most of the animal is inside, the halacha will be that it's not considered roif, and it won't be metamed the begodim of those that carry it out. And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Rabbi Baruch Huna, says the Gemara, asked the question differently. Rabbi Baruch Huna masn l'begavri. He speaks about people, the Mis'askimbach. He speaks about a question. We're Mis'askimbach Hamish B'nei Adam. There are 5 people carrying out this animal. V'nafka Tlosa. And 3 of the 5, using the example that we learned in the previous Mishnah, 3 of the 5 walked out. They're standing in front of the animal. And 2 of the people are still inside. Upashalei Trei. And 2 are still inside. Mai. What? How do we look at the situation? Bosse Reubens ask Maslinen, do we say, and the way that we show him explain, that obviously we're referring to a situation where most of the animal, Rashi and Tosfos make this point, most of the animal is outside. Because if most of the animal is not outside, there's nothing to talk about. It's never metama. So we have here the following situation. 3 of the 5 people are outside, plus most of the animals outside, but 2 of the people remain inside. And that's the Gemara's question. Basa Roim is asking as Lenin, and therefore the 2 that are still inside will be treated like the 3 who are outside. Oy, bas behemas linen. We follow the behema, and the people who are carrying the behema have to be viewed individually, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Again, the words of the Gemara aren't that perfect. The Rishonim, Chavetz Chaim, the Sefer Likutei Halachos, have difficulty trying to explain the Gemara's words with Rashi's pshat. We're doing the best we can. So now the Gemara asks another question. By Rebbe Elazar, Parim Nisrafim Isram, Sirim Nisrafim. You have these Parim Nisrafim and Sirim Nisrafim that, as we have been learning, if they're taken out of the Azara, they're metame the begodim of those who carry it out. Here we have a situation, Shiyotz v'chazru. They were taken out of the Azara and then brought back in. Mao, Miyam Rinan, Kima the Nafgalei Itmelahu. The ones they were taken out, the people who carry it, their begodim become tame. They become tame, the begodim become tame. Idoma Kima the Hada Hada. Again, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, interesting pshat, this is the way Rechroidim explained Rashi's pshat, that even though we've been learning that as soon as the people who carry out this animal leave the Azara with the animal, they become Tameh. Here, if the animal is brought back into the Azara, we look at these people as if they never left. We look at these people that never left, and therefore, so to speak, retroactively, they never became Tameh. Tosh, Omar, Rav Abba Mamamu, Toshma, isn't our Mishnah very clear on this subject? It says in the Mishnah, they were carrying out the animal on poles. If the people in the front walked out, and the people carrying it at the back didn't walk out, those who have left the Azara will become Tameh. Asked the Gemara, Kiv the Nifgalu, Etman, Hanach Dik Gavoy Litmi. So the Gemara's question is as follows, that if we're saying that it's, that anybody, that as soon as the animal is taken out, the person who's carrying it becomes Tameh, then why should it make a difference? Again, this is the Gemara's Havamina. Why should it make a difference that the people who are in the back of the animal are still inside the Azara? The fact that most of the animal was removed from the Azara should make them Tameh. What must be the answer? All of this is in Rashi. What must be the answer? That since these people, since the halacha is that if the animal were brought back to the Azara, it wouldn't be metame. Therefore, the people who are still in the Azara are treated equally to the way, to as if the animal was brought back. Again, the Gemara's proposed raya is as follows. The halacha, the Mishnah told us clearly, is that if people are carrying out this animal, the people in the front who left with the animal will be tame. The people in the back who are still in the Azara will not be Tameh. So the Gemara is asking why. And the Gemara is suggesting, because if most of the animal went out, the fact that the people are in the back are still in the Azara shouldn't make a difference. Why does the Mishnah say that it does make a difference that's still in the Azara? So the Gemara is proposing that since if the animal were brought back to the Azara, the halach would be that the people who carried out would, as I said, retroactively not be Tameh. Therefore, the people who are still in the Azara are treated the same way. Says the Gemara, the Amravina, is that Pshat? The Tizbara, Habi'ina v'ach yovav al-machna v'leka. Which means as follows. The Torah, when it describes the people who carry out the Parma and the Srofim and Serum and the Srofim become Tameh, say that what happens? They become Tameh, and then they purify themselves, and then they could come back in. So what is the Torah saying? Again, it's a lot that has to be said into this Gemara that's not in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that the Torah is giving us two requirements for Tumah. What are the two requirements for Tumah to come? One requirement is that most of the animals should have left the Azara. That's been a good part of our share. And now there's another requirement, that the person who carries the animal also left the Azara. So now the two cases that we've been discussing are completely not related to each other. in the case where the people in the back never left the Azara. So they're missing one of the requirements. One of the requirements is indeed that most of the animals should be taken out, but the other requirement is that they have to go out. And they didn't go out. That's why our Mishnah paskened that they're not tamei. But in a case where the animal went out, and the people went out, and yes, the animal now comes back to the Azara, there is no question. There is no question that those people aren't tamei, but it could be the people who went out and the animal went out will be tamei. So our Mishnah doesn't respond to that question, says the Gemara. So the Gemara makes a complete turn. Which means that the animal is being connected with long poles. Which means as follows. It's very interesting what the Gemara does here. The Gemara makes a complete turn. The Gemara is saying, Avada, once the animal leaves the Azara, and the people leave the Azara, they're tamei. The next rule is, all this is in the Mishnah, that if the animal left the Azara, the people didn't leave the Azara, they're not tamei. Now the Gemara goes to a different question. What would be the halacha if the animal left the Azara? And then it was brought back in. Does the power of tuma on that animal become so strong that even if you have people who are standing outside, they've been outside all along, and they're connected to the animal bukusi with these long poles. So normally, those people wouldn't be tummy because they weren't the ones that carried out the animal. But here we're dealing with an animal that was already once outside the Azara. And since this animal was once outside, even though it was now brought back in, it has such a power to be metame, that it'll be metame to people who are standing outside, even though they weren't the ones that carried it out. Because this animal was once outside the Azara. And that the Gemara doesn't answer. We begin a new sugya. Tanar Rabbanan. Parim. The Parma and the Srafim, and the Sira and the Srafim that we have been discussing. Upara, which means the Para Aduma. Vesara Mishtaleach. We all recall, Sechta Yuma, those of us that David on Yom Kippur know about it also, that they brought two Seirim to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen did Gerolus on these two Seirim and these two he-goats, two male goats. One was the Sar Lashem, which was a carbon, and one was the Sar Lazazel. And the Torah teaches us clearly that the person who carries out the Sar Lazazel becomes Tamei as soon as he leaves Yerushalayim. Says the Braisa, HaMashalayach, the person who is the one that takes out the Sar Lazazel, HaSarfon, the person who burns the ashes of the Paraduma, VaMoitzon, VaMitzion, and the person who takes out the Parman Nisrafim, the Sirim Nisrafim, Metamim Begodim, as we've been learning, the people who carried out, we learned this in the Mishnah, have Tumas Begodim, Vehein Atzmon, Ein Metamim Begodim, Av Metamim Oichla Mashkin, Divrei Remeya. The halacha is as follows. In halacha, when we learn the halachas of Tum and Tahara, it's much easier to transfer Tumma to foods than to transfer food to Begodim. Says our Mishnah that these items give tumah. If Oichlam and Mashkin come in contact with these items, they will become tameh. The Chum agree that the Parah or the Parim metamim Oichlam and Mashkin, that halacha they agree with. However, Sarah Mishtaleich ain't a metama. The Sarah Mishtaleich, they won't agree that if food items come in contact with the Sar Mishtalech, they will become Tamei. Because as I explained, the Sar Lazozel is a live animal. And we have a rule that a Chai, a living animal, a living thing, Enem Atama doesn't give off Tuma to Oichel and Mashkin. Yes, it gives Tuma to the person who's carrying it, because the Torah says so. But to extrapolate and expand the Tuma to Oichel and Mashkin, we may not do. So again, the machlokes of the Chacham and Remeya is reduced to one issue. The Sar Lazozel, while it's still alive, giving off Tumat Ha'ichel and Mashkin. Remeya says it does, the Chacham say it does not. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Remeya, the opinion of Remeya could be understood, to the Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, as we learned in the Brayso of Rav Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, as the Brayso of Rav Shmuel teaches us, the Torah teaches us a halacha that we're very familiar with, Al Kol Zera Zerua, that food, in order to give off Tumah, Mazroim, now food doesn't have the ability to give off very serious Tumah. She'ein Soifin L'tame Tumah Chamura. Food never gives off very serious Tumah. That's why the halacha is v'tzrich and hechsher. The halacha is that in order for food to become tameh, we've learned this then, it first has to become wet with one of the Zayin mashkin. So too, says Rameya, af kosh ain't soifin l'tameh tumah chamura, anything that won't come to a high level tumah, tzrich and hechsher. In order for it to be able to give off tumah, first has to become mukhshel kabel tumah. So I saw the Rashi Masechta Chulin, fascinating Rashi, asks a question. The Gemara says here that Oichlin and Mashkin can never come to a very high level of Tumah. How does something normally come to a very high level of Tumah? What's the classical example? The classical example is that a mace is an Avi Avos HaTumah, and somebody who touches a mace, doesn't even have to touch a mace, somebody's even in the same oil of a mace, becomes an avatoma. So Rashi Masechta Chulin asks, why is our Gemara so quick to say that food can never become an avatoma? Why, if you have food, it's a common situation, in the same house, under the same oil as a mace, shouldn't that food become an avatoma? So the Gemara says that food can never be a high-level toma. Why? Why, if food is in the same oil of a mace, doesn't become an avatoma? So Rashi says that, again, in Hilchos Tumah, you can't ask for lumdus. There has to be, there's halacha. So Rashi says, the Torah says as follows. What could become an avatoma? Only something that could go into a mikvah and become tahar. There is a possibility for that person, that item, whatever, that became exposed to the avi avos hatumah and now became an avatoma, can become an avatoma. You can't put food into the mikvah. There's no tahara of food in the mikvah. Since food does not have a tahara in the mikvah, it never becomes an avatoma. Bichidish, but very understandable. So now let's go back to our Gemara. Our Gemara said the food can never become a high-level tuma. However, yotz nevelus oiftar, but what about a nevelus oiftar? Shesoif l'tomei tuma chamura, that can't come to a high-level tuma. Therefore, ain't tzricha hechsher. So let's understand what the Gemara says. Just to review sugyas that we spent a lot of time learning in Masechta Zvachim. The Torah teaches us that a nevela, a kezayis of a nevela, whether it's from a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, whether it's a behema or a chaya, is metame b'mag b'masa. Nevelas oif tamei is not metame at all. Nevelas oif tahor has a very big chumra. That as soon as it's in the base habliya, and we're going to speak about this halacha more soon, as soon as it's in the base habliya, it's metame. We discussed what kind of tumah it is. It's not relevant today's shir. But the point is, it has a very unique, high-level tumah. Because when it's in the base habliya of the person eating it, it's not only metame him, it's even metame the begodim that he's wearing. So says Rabbi Shmuel, that when you have this nevelus oiftar, as we just described, having this very high-level tumah, it doesn't require a normal halach of hechsher. Similarly, in our Gemara, says Rameyer, based on what Rabbi Shmuel just taught us, that all the cases we spoke about, the Parim and the Srofim, the Paraduma, the Saul, Azazel, since they're going to have this very high-level tumah, what's this very high-level tumah? Whoever carries it out is Matam Begodim, the exact same tumah that I just talked about, give off tumah to anything that, to any food that come into contact with them. So Rameh's opinion now is very understandable. However, asked the Gemara, El Rabbanon, now we need to understand the opinion of the Rabbanon. E isludatan de Rabbi Shmuel, if they agree conceptually with Rabbi Shmuel, then the halacha ought to be a filastar. Sarim shtalech nami. Sarim shtalech gives tumah to the person who carries it out. So then it should be able to give tumah to the oichle and mashkin that come into contact with it, as Rameyer indeed said. And if, for whatever reason, they don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel, Ilesley, so why do we agree with Ramei by Parim Parim? Al Parim Parim and Nolan. Answers the Gemara. Amar Avdimi. Amri B'maravi. Tzricha Hechshu Tumar Makam Acher. The answer to the question is that it requires Hechshu Tumar from somewhere else. That means so every other item, in order to be Tumay, has to come in contact with Tumar. The Parah and the Parah Adama are not living things. So the Gemara's Torah says, as we've been saying, but a living thing, what does that mean? A dead thing that comes in contact with a Sheretz can become Tameh. A living thing that comes in contact with a Sheretz won't become Tameh. And that's why the Rabbanan differentiate between the Parah and the Parah Aduma and the Parah Nisrafim, where they're dead, and therefore they have a higher level of susceptibility to Tumah, versus a Sarah Shtaleach that has a much lower level of susceptibility. Ask the Gemara. By Rebbe Elazar, Parim and Resirim and Asrafim, Ma'ashi Tamo Oichlam Mashkim B'fnim K'b'chutz. And as all the Mepharshim explain, this Gemara's question is going according to the opinion of Rameya. The Rameya said that the Parim and Asrafim have this high level of Tumah, that even if they didn't become Mukhshir, food, since food is so easily susceptible to Tumah that comes in contact with them, the halacha is, will become Tumah. So now the Gemara's question is, what happens if they're in the Azara when they come into contact with food? And again, it's only according to Rameya, all the Mepharshim point out. Will it have the same halacha? Where do we say? Mechus Yitzia k'mechus Ma'is Adami. When did the Parim and Asrafim become Tameh? As we said from the beginning of the Shir, only when they're taken out of Yazara. So here, since they're missing such a elemental requirement that it may be removed, this halacha of Rameya doesn't apply yet, or the fact that it still requires to be taken out, even though this have this high level of Tumah, eventually it won't give Tumah to Eichel Mashkin. Says the Gemara, Bas the Baya, after the question was asked, it was answered. Pashta, Mechus Yitzir k'mechus Ma'is Adami. Since it requires such a significant act that it be removed from the Azara, until it's removed from the Azara, it certainly won't be able to go off Tumah. What is the question? Says the Gemara. Bar minei Reb Abba Bashmu mi Reb Chi Bar Abba. What will be the halacha nevelas oif tar l'Rameya? Again, Rameya taught us, Rabbi Shmuel taught us, but we know that Rameya and Rabbi Shmuel, as the Gemara said before, travel together. Nevelas oif tar, the Gemara said, since it ultimately gets a very high level of Tumah, since it gets a very high level of Tumah, the halacha is, it doesn't require Heksha. Why will be halacha, asked the Gemara, there may mashu tama b'kazayis. That even though normally the halacha is, it requires a kabeya, why will be the halacha here? Will it be enough for it to be kazayis? Says the Gemara, l'machsel ara, if it's still on the ground, loy tabaylach, it's no question that it's too far of a maisel. It has to be picked up and put into your mouth. The knock of the pume, if it's ready in the mouth of the person eating it, even though it isn't yet in his base abliya, also like the bailach, that already is considered in the veilus oif tar and doesn't need a beya, a kazayis is enough. Ki to bailach, where is the question of the Gemara? The nakle biyode, it's in his hand and about to be put into his mouth. Do we say, mechusa kreva k'musa daimri? Since it's not put into his mouth yet, it's not considered like his mouth, and therefore it still needs a shear of kabeya or loy. Says the Gemara, "V'chus kreiv alavka v'chus ma'is adami." Says the Gemara that it's not yet that since it's so close, it's already in the person's hand. It already has this high level of tumah, and it doesn't need a kabeya. A kazayis will be enough. Ask the Gemara, "Eisvei shloisha asu dvarim." There were many halachas said, as we've been learning about the Nevelas Oiftar, and this is one of them. But before we say the Gemara, we know that for a food to give off Tumah, it has to be a food. If it's not a food, it can't give off Tumah. tzricha machshava, there has to be a decision to eat it. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the halacha is that if you live in a city, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, in a city you'll find all types of people. And you'll find people that will eat in the Velas Oif Tahar. In a village, which has a much smaller population, you're not necessarily going to find somebody that's going to eat in the Velas Oif Tahar. Since you're not going to find somebody that's going to eat it, you have to have a machshava. Ve'ein tzricha hechsher, but it doesn't require hechsher to give, it doesn't have to be exposed to any liquid, as we learned in Amud Aleph, because since it's going to have a tumah chamura, the halacha of hechsher doesn't apply. Umetama tumas oichlan kebeya. What does it say here? That it needs kebeya. My laugh. Isn't this opinion following the opinion of Rameya? And we see that even according to Rameya, still you need a kebeya and not a kezayis. Says the Gemara loy. It's following the opinion of Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, for Ktani, didn't we learn in the first part of this Mishnah, we just quoted it, Tzricha Machshava, you have to decide that you want to eat it, Vein Tzricha Heksher. Who taught us this halacha on Aleph, that we have the opinion of Rishmol, Man Shamet Lehi Svara, that if it has a Tumah Chamura, it doesn't require Heksher? Rameya. Isn't that Rameya's opinion, based on what Rishmol taught us? So says the Gemara, so how can we say that this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanon, if the Reish is following the opinion of Rameya, isn't that a proof that the Sefer is also following the opinion of Rameya? Says Amar, it's not compelling. Me the area. Hakadisa Vakadisa. The Reish that says that it requires, that it doesn't require Heksher, is following the opinion of Rameya. The Sefer that says it requires a Kebeya, is following the opinion of Rabbanim. But now ask the Gemara another question. Let's continue learning that Mishnah. But Midiktani Seifa. Shchitasoi Milakasoi Mitaharis Trifas Mitumasoi. Again, we've discussed this question earlier in the Masechta. The halacha is, again, in the times of Chazal, there's more of an appreciation for this rule than in our times. The halacha is, the why do we shecht an animal? Why do we shecht a bird? In order to be able to eat it. If you shecht an animal on a bird, and it turns out to be a treifa, so we view it as a wasted shechita, so to speak, at least on the halachic level. But in the times of Chazal, it does have accomplishment, because an animal that dies without shechita is a nevela. And as we've been learning in our shir, a nevela gives off tumah. By having slaughtered the animal, even though it turned out to be a treifa and may not be eaten, at least it's not matama. That halacha that I just said by an animal is unanimous. But this is a conversation, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, well about halacha regarding the shechita of a bird or the malika of a bird, will they and the bird turns out to be a treifa, will accomplish the same. So the Mishnah over there says, the shechitasoi, shechting a bird, or malikasoi, even doing malika on a bird, which Malik is only valid in the Beis HaMikdash, Mitaret Terefasa Mitumasai, will accomplish that this bird, even though it may not be eaten because it's a treifa, will not have Tumas Nevela. Says the Gemara, Man Shamet Lehei Svara. Who holds this Svara? That even not just doing Shechit on a bird, but even doing Malik on a bird, will accomplish that that bird won't be Mitama, Rameya. So says the Gemara, we have a very interesting phenomenon. The ratio of this Mishnah we've identified to follow the opinion of Rameya, the safe of this Mishnah we've identified the foul opinion of Rameya. Mitzyasa is following the Rabbanon. But the Gemara says that's the only way we could explain this Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Zeira. Rav Hamnuna said to Rav Zeira, Lo teis v'karach, don't sit down. Ad amalei. Homilsa. Nevelos oif tal Rameya. Nevelos oif tal Rameya. Rameya. Minam lai rishim v'sheni. Will, according to Rameya, will it give off, that it's metama even when it's only a kezayis? Will it give off tumah to Rishon Vishani, even though it's only the size of a kezayis? Or a minor lay, Rishon Vishani. Amalei, to which he responded, Vishani, and he responded, Kol Eicha, Dein Adam Etama B'maga, where it doesn't have the ability to give off Tumas Maga, Eimon by Rish Vishani. Now ask the Gemara another question. Bamnei Reb Zeir Mer Ami Bachia, Bamnei Mer Ami Bakahana, Hodatani, Chibur Eichlein Dei Mashkin Chibur. If you have two foods, and you don't have enough of, you have a Chatzik Zayis of Nevela, and you have a Chatzik Zayis of Nevela, that are connected through liquid. You have a piece here, and you have a piece there, and you have some liquid in between. Chibur Eichlein Dei Mashke, Chibur Tuma Kala, they are considered connected to give off Tuma to Eichlein Mashkin. Vein Chibur Tuma Chamura, that they don't have the ability to give off Tuma to people or to vessels. Ask the Gemara, Mining by Rishu Vishani, or ain't mining by Rishu Vishani? Again, the same question. Amalei, Kalech the Matama Adam, wherever it has the ability to give off Tumas Adam, Mining by Rishu Vishani, ain't Matama Adam, if it doesn't have the ability to give off Tumas Adam, ain't mining by Rishu Vishani. So it's very interesting that the Pais can make the following point. Our Gemara is having a discussion here. If chibura eichlin, if foods that are separated but they're connected can be considered one to have the proper shear. We know that in halacha, there's a time you have to have a whole challah. Two places. One is by an erev. When you're contributing to an erev, you have to have a whole challah. And another place is for lecha mishnah. So the halacha is, that let's say you don't have a whole challah, your challah is split. So could you take a piece of wood, or you could take a little scotch tape maybe, and put the challah together? So the halacha is, if you have no other challah, you're allowed to do it. So ask the Paiskim, Al Gemara is having a discussion if food could be connected. And here we see it can be connected. So the question from Erev, the Paiskim say, is not such a serious question. Because why is the reason that somebody who's contributing to an Erev has to give a whole challah? He can't just give a slice of a challah. The answer is Mishum Eva. That if you're going to give a whole challah and I'm only going to give a slice, it's going to cause friction. So since it's only Mishum Eva, Chazal will make it. But what about Lecha Mishnah? So the Poskim answer, here we're dealing with a Daraisa. Tum and Tahar is a shayla of a Daraisa. Lecha Mishnah is not a Daraisa. Particularly, they go on to say, then where would somebody put a challah together with a stick? It's in a b'diavad situation where you have no other challah. Here we're talking about, do we want to count Rishu Vishani or not? So the two situations cannot be compared.